Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm thankful to God that I'm here today to share the word of God with you. I just wanted to clarify something that Pastor John didn't lie. It's just I had preached in Spanish, never preached in English here. I think the one time that I spoke in English in front of people was when I was pregnant with Bea in an English class. But it's a very special day for me to be here before you to share the word of God. And I'm thankful that all of you chose to be here today, that the Holy Spirit guide us to be here together, worshiping God and to hear his word. I have a lot of papers here to read. I don't want to be reading, but God had put something in my heart several years ago when Pastor Josh was here. I almost preached, but I was scared. So, I'm thankful that that God has a great purpose for us, for all of us. And I see all of you here, and I just cannot even believe what all that God has done in my life, and I can imagine God has done in your life. So, I'm going to start with, I was talking with Tony about an experience that we have every year, and Tony is a science teacher, so he did this program of showing children the process of the butterfly, the monarch butterfly. Everyone has seen butterflies? Those kind of butterflies are beautiful. So, the process is something that I really like, and Tony has shown me for years that the process is very neat. So, the little egg, the female lays an egg under a leaf of milkweed. Milkweed is not a really good plant in its own, but it's a beautiful, beautiful note that they can lay the egg there, and they can so a little bit later they come. The little tiny caterpillar comes out, and they start growing, eating the milkweed, which is the only plant that they can eat. And then they start growing, and then there's a time where they stop growing, and they stay. They look for a place to hang. They are like restless a while, but then they settle and they hang in like a type like a J, and stay there for a couple of weeks. And then another this time passed. 2 weeks passed, and they can get it starts like the process of coming out of the caterpillar, like the chrysalis, excuse me. The chrysalis comes, and it does, suddenly it comes a beautiful butterfly. So this is like they were born a little caterpillar, and then just born a little butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. So this butterfly is like often... Some people use it as a illustration that is like the life of the believer, that is like being born again, like Jesus talks in John chapter 3. Excuse me. I have been with a cold for about 3 weeks, but I'm thankful that I'm here. It's a miracle that I can speak today. So we're going to read the scripture in Acts 9. So you read with me. You decided to stand, or you want to sit, it's fine. I'll read the word of God today in Acts 9. So it says, meanwhile, 9:1-2. We're going to read 1:1-19. It's a long reading, but we're going to read 1 to 19, and then we'll take the other part of the scripture later. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciple. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas in a straight street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their king and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like a scale fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord. I just feel like the Holy Spirit has been so active this week in my life, and I know that he has been active for a long time. And I didn't talk to my brothers that I talked this morning, and what most of them said was like a confirmation to me about what God wanted me to talk to you this morning. The Holy Spirit works in ways that sometimes we don't understand. And like I said, I have been thinking about preaching this message, and God had put it in my heart of what he can do in the life of people. And the book of Acts is a very exciting book. I don't know how many of you have read this book, but for me, every time I read Acts, it just gave me like this joy, this excitement, because it's like so much going on, so much happening. It's all this activity. So the church was very active. This is what I like about this verse. And Acts 1:8 said, "But you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, when it comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of all the earth." So when Jesus left, he gave a commission to the disciples about sharing the word of God, about sharing, preaching the gospel to the lost. And the church was active. So the power of the Holy Spirit helped them to go and do the work that God wanted them to do. And So when I see that the activity that happened in the church there, I can see one time we were talking with Bea about why we don't see persecution in the United States. And so Bea was telling me, it's because we are not doing the work that we should be doing. So and I thought, yes, she's right. So the church was active. They were doing the work that God wanted them to do. They were preaching. They were doing meetings, and they were praying and gathering together. And they were persecuted for that, because they were declaring that Jesus was the Lord and Jesus was the Son of God and Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So when we hear about what Saul did in his persecution of the church, he wasn't the only one that was doing it. But before I continue with this, I just wanted to tell you about some things about Saul. This is a very known story, I think. Mostly everybody knows it. Just in case somebody is here that doesn't know, haven't heard the story before, I just want to tell you that Saul seemed like was a very smart man, well-educated, and he was a descendant from the tribe of Benjamin, and he was a very religious leader, and must have read the Bible, Mosaic law, might have read it when he was about five, very early age. And so he was a person that was so against the Christians, so against Jesus. He hated Jesus, and so he wanted to get rid of anybody that was following him. So that was some of the facts about Saul. So his conversion is mentioned three times in the book of Acts. So he was saying that, describing what God did in his life. He saw Jesus, he heard Jesus in his way to Damascus as he was persecuting the church. So he was heading to Damascus where the church was, and then Jesus intervened and he stopped him in his way there. So he had the surprise of his life. He thought that he was going to arrest. He had a letter from the high priest that he could go freely to get all the Christians possible, that he could take them to jail. And I imagine that as the church was praying, they might have been praying for protection for the church, that the enemy will not attack them. Like Saul was the enemy, his enemy, and he had a group with him. And so I imagine that day was a victorious day for the church there, because they received the answers to their prayers, that they when Saul got stopped, and that Jesus did what he did, talked to him and stopped his attacks, then he would be to the service of God and will not be attacking them anymore. So I'm so I have been thinking about it, and like every time I think about what the church experienced, I feel like, wow, it's just amazing to see God answering the prayers of the church, and then working in the life of Saul. So we see in the verses that we read that God was had a plan and a purpose for the church, for the whole world, by stopping Saul and did what he did. And so when he was when Jesus called him, he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul was he perceived that was a divine person that was talking to him, that he would said Lord to him. He called Lord, instantly. He didn't know who he was in the beginning, but then he realized what was happening. And he said, Lord, what I should do? And then Jesus said to him, you should go, get up and go to Ananias. So God had been leading him to the church. Ananias represents the church. So when our brothers were testifying, I was thinking, great what they are saying, because this is what I feel in my heart, that God led Saul to the church. God had very well told Saul, this is what you need to do. You need to go and get ready, read the Bible, and pray and fast and do go preach the gospel. But Jesus connected Saul with the church. So Ananias, and doesn't say much about Ananias' conversion in this scripture, but it tells us that Ananias was a very well-respected man. He was a devoted Christian. He was in prayer even when Jesus talked to him too. He talked in a vision to Saul, and then talked to Ananias in a vision about Saul. So when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, he guides us. He let us know what he wants us to do. So I was so blessed to see and to hear and discover. Every time I was reading a scripture, I read it many times. I read it in Spanish and I read it in English. I wanted to learn the right pronunciation for the words. And so I just felt so touched in the way that God specifically told Ananias what he needed to do. He needed to go and talk to look for this man. He gave us even the address where he was, that he could go and pray for him. So Jesus told him, you need to go and pray for him, and then anoint him and baptize him. So Ananias, in the beginning, he was scared because he knew who Saul was. And sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes God tell us to do something for him, even go and pray and talk to somebody. And myself, I said this because it happened to me one time. God was felt like I was prompting me to go to talk to someone. And I was like, what I will do? What I will say? I don't know this person. And it really touched me so much, because when I went to talk to this person, you just can kind of see this person in a clinic. And I didn't know who she was. And then I just had to tell her that Jesus loved her. That is what God wanted me to tell her. And when I went and talked to her, I said, I don't know what's happening with you, but Jesus wanted you to know that he loves you. And it really was God there, because this woman had just given a diagnostic that she had cancer in her throat. So I gave her my phone number and called me. She called me and I prayed for her and led her to go to a church. And praise God that God touched her. She got healed from her cancer and she went to a church. So I feel like Ananias is a very important person in the life of Saul at that time. And I feel like here in our church, we are experiencing something. God is doing something wonderful. Something new is happening here. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives. I just had the experience to see a couple of weeks ago, our brother Michael Crowley was sitting in the back. He was going to tell his story like others have said their story here. We all have a story. And Michael was vulnerable and he stood up. But I know he was afraid. He was worried. I don't know what was happening to him. But I know he was there sitting. And I just saw two men coming behind him and pray for him. It just touched my heart to see that we have Ananias here. God is using our church to bless people. And that is what he wants us to do, to be available to him, because we need to be in support of our brothers and sisters. Like Tom Spalding said, we need to be praying. He said men for men, but the whole church need to be praying for each other, because we need the support. We cannot do it in our own. We need God's power in our life to be able to do what God wants us to do. And life is hard, but God is with us. He's a promise. When he tells us to do something, he doesn't leave us alone. He is with us. He is telling us, I am going to be with you. He told the disciples who gave the great commission, he told them, I will be with you. So we are not alone. That promise is still faithful today. So Ananias, like I say, he represents the church. And there is for me in my life, I have thought about many people that have been Ananias to me. And years pass, and my younger years in the school and in the church, people praying for me, times when I couldn't know how I will get out of a hole that I had made for myself. God was there using Ananias Gilman and Ananias men to bring me out, to help me to keep going, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and to be able to discern what is good and what is bad. So I encourage you today that each of you think yourself as Ananias, and that you will do what God wanted you to do. I want to share with you part of my story. Things that you don't know. I will try not to say things that are graphic, but when I was 10 years down under, I experienced things in my life that were not that good. But God has been so amazing, so great, so His grace and His power have been there with me even when I didn't know Him. He did. I love my parents. I love my family, my brothers, my sister. But when I was, like I said, under 10 years old, I lived things that hurt my life, my heart, my soul, my soul, my all my being I was sad. So I am a survivor of a home that was with so much domestic violence. And to be here today is because Jesus cared for me so much. You know, when you go to clinics, when you go to a hospital, you can see signs that says if you are domestic domestic violence home, or you need help, just call 1-800 or 911, and you will need the help that you need. You will get the help you need. I didn't have that help. My mother didn't have that help. But God was there. God was there, and for some reason, I heard somewhere, sometime, I don't know if I went to somebody took me to a church when I was little, but I had this burning in my heart, something that I wanted, something that I needed. And like I have been learning in the courses about prevenient grace, the Holy Spirit working in our life even before we knew him. So God did something wonderful. As you know, my dad is, some of you know that my dad is a survivor of cancer. And even when those things happened in the past, I cannot imagine my life without my parents. And when I mention about having the help that is available here for people that had domestic violence in their home, I said that because so many families get separated from the children, from the parents. Even when I know when people is in danger, they need to go to a safe place. But I feel like I was blessed the way that God worked things out for me, because I didn't lose my parents. God intervened in our family in the way that God helped my father to understand that he needed help, that he needed a change of heart. And anybody that is in a very hard situation, and that like family that have people in their home that are terrible, that they are the worst, I know that sometimes it's difficult to understand how God can work in people's life. But God has a time, like he did with Saul. He stopped him in a very dramatic way. And then in my story, my dad, one day he decided, when I was about 10 years old, he decided that he will move away from our home. I mean, not from our home. We will go away from our town and go far away to a small city. There were more opportunities for work for him. And then someone took the time to talk to my dad about the Holy, about the gospel. And he was hesitant about it in the beginning. But one day he said, "Let's go to watch a movie to the theater." And so across from the theater, there were several churches. In the town were several churches, and one church was across from the theater. And so we were there, and he tells me now, I don't remember, but he said that I grabbed his hand and I said, "Dad, why we don't go to church instead?" I just felt like I wanted to be in that church. I didn't want to be buying a ticket to go to the theater. I wanted to go to the church. So I went. We went to the church. We began going to the church. My dad received Jesus. And then eventually I did it in a Sunday school. So there began the best time of my life. To have known Jesus, to have received him in my heart, and to see my dad and following Jesus and doing the will of God. So we began, my dad and I had been, before I got married, we went to the mountains. So I have been a missionary since young age, and I didn't know that was a missionary. God helped us to go to the mountains and with the pastor, and I was leading the worship. My dad was leading the service, and the pastor was preaching, and I just saw many things happening in the church that marked my life, marked my heart. And what God did in my dad is just amazing, and God has the power to do it for anybody. Anybody needs help from God. And sometimes relatives give hard time to their families. But we need to keep praying and trusting that God will work. And God has restored me. He has healed me. He has shown me his love. I'm so thankful for what he has done in my life. And I have a wonderful family. I don't know how it worked out for today, that all my family, but Jesse, we're here in front. And I just feel like this is something that God, only God does. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing in our home and in my life. And I just want to say something to get back a little bit about Ananias. I am so thankful for so many people that have been Ananias in my life. And one of them was Tony in our home. Tony is like Jesus to me. He is just a man of God. I'm so thankful for him. He's a prayer warrior. He loves God's word. And he has taught our family so much. So I'm thankful for him. And I'm thankful for Pastor Juan Rivera that you don't know, but he was the first person that God used to show me the Nazarene Church. I didn't know about the Nazarene Church anything, and they had a Bible study in Nashua, and they are not in the area now, but I never forget them. They show us how to talk to people, how to do missions out of our church. We traveled to Framingham, Worcester, and Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and they are so special to me. And then Pastor John White, he was here. You don't know how I got here, but it was in a way that I thought Pastor John White must be a wonderful man, wonderful pastor, because he donated his kidney to my pastor, Juan Rivera. So that's what I need to find the address. When we moved to Canterbury, I thought I need to find Pastor John White Church, and I want to be in the church. And so he supported me. He listened to me. He was the first one that introduced me to the ministry, giving me the first minister license along with the board of the church. So I'm thankful for the board of that year. And Pastor, thank you. And I have people that missionaries in Honduras that they were so much of help for us. The reason that Tony and I are together, they began a ministry in Honduras. They were Ananias to me, loving to us. And Pastor Josh, he sat with me with the board of credentials to support me. He prayed for me. He listened to me. And so there are many people that have been Ananias to me. So you need to see yourself as Ananias. From now on, I encourage you to think how I can help someone, how I can pray for someone. And you will see the results. You will see God at work. So also I wanted to tell you, as part of my story in my home, how God worked in our lives. This moment, my brother is going to Honduras. My brother David that was living in Mexico. God is doing something in his life. I have 5 brothers and 1 sister. We all grew up in the church. But for some reason, they decided, all my brothers and my sister decided not to be in the church for a while. But I have been praying. My mother has been praying. My dad has been praying. They are prayer warriors for their family. So my brother called me a couple weeks ago. And we are very close. When he's in a crisis or when he has something good to tell me spiritually, he calls me. So to hear him calling me was like a confirmation about this sermon, for what God is doing. The Holy Spirit is active everywhere. There's no borders. And my brother called me and told me that something bad had happened. And he was falsely accused about a crime. And so he was taken to jail. He was beaten. The police beat him, and he was in a lot of pain. He was in jail, and then they figured out something out. Somebody has paid for him to be killed. And then they asked him if he give money, they will let him go. Somehow they let him go. And then when he went back to his home, he didn't have. All his belongings were taken away. He was homeless. So I was praying for him that God would protect him. And all my life I had prayed for him. God sent angels to my beside my brothers. Send people that will talk to them about you. And God had been working in him. He called me and the next weekend he said, something happened. I was thinking about revenge. I wanted to go and get these people that took my stuff. And then he said he had a vision, something like happened to Saul, that he saw, he heard a conversation between God and angels. God was talking to the angels saying, you need to take care of this man. This man has a good heart, but something had happened in his life and he has got away, but he will be an instrument for me. And so my brother he said, I just cannot even tell you all the things that I heard. And And I was like, it has to be God working in his life. And I just kneeled down. I said, you want me to pray for you? I believe what he was telling me. I knew the Holy Spirit was working in him. So I prayed for him. And he was telling me, I want to preach the word of God. I want to preach the word of God. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I want to reach out to people because I know I have been in the street. I know, and I want to help people. I want to help people. I want to buy bags of bread and ham and make sandwiches for people. And I want to tell them. And I will go to this house and I will ask, do you know Jesus? Is Jesus here? And I will tell them, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he just preparing the message that he wants to say to people. He's not done feeling health-wise. He's not well right now. So we decided to send him back to Honduras. My older brother and I decided to send him money. So yesterday he was traveling hours and hours to go back. And right now he's getting close to Guatemala. And it's really interesting to think about what happened to Saul and how Ananias was his helper and how God sent him other places to preach, and there were people that was helping him. I have this basket here. Probably you don't think that is enough basket to feed Saul there. But the rest of the story I will not read because, you know, the time is going. I will not read the rest of the scripture, but from the verse 20 to the first 31, it talks about that Paul, now, I didn't mention about Saul became Paul in chapter 13 of Acts, and but Paul has reached so many people for the Lord, and now us, we have been blessed with his the word that he wrote, and but what I got this basket for is to tell you that there are names, and this is story, that are not mentioned. But people were there to help Saul to escape. That he was chased when after he being the persecutor of the church, he became persecuted because people wanted to kill him because he was talking about the resurrection, because he was saying that Jesus was the Lord, and the leaders, the high priest, and all the people around him, didn't want to kill him. So he was thinking about the people that were holding the ropes in the basket. We don't see the names of them there, but they were helping Saul. They were being Ananias. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has so much giving to us already and wants to give to us more. We need to be available to him and how we can be used by him to bless other people, to reach out to other people. His love is great and his love is so big that it never changed and want us to depend on him. I feel like all of us here today, if we decide to follow him and to continue to do the work that we are doing for him, for God, he will continue to use us and he will do great things. There is a song that my mother-in-law used to like. I don't remember the whole thing, but it talks about it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And all those around will be... I'm sorry. Tony can help me with that. Okay. So... We can be the beginners of something great. We can share with others what we have. the love that God had for us, what God has done for us, the salvation that he had given us, the grace that he has showered over us, we can pass it to other people. We cannot keep it to us, with us. We can give it and share it, and we'll see there will be a ripple effect. So let's return to the story of the butterfly. When the butterfly comes out from this chrysalis, it begins a new life. And being a very delicate creature and having to navigate almost 2,000 miles journey to a remote corner of the mountainous state of Michoacán, Mexico, he has many challenges and obstacles to overcome. The life of the believer is like that. The butterfly comes out and begins a new life, and this is the way it was for Saul. He needed help. He needed people to help him, and Ananias was the first one to help him. And my story, my parents' story, Judy's story, can be shared, can be passed on, of the great things that God has done. Excuse me. God has transformed our lives that we can be instrument for him. And 1 Peter 2:9 said, "But you are chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession. You may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." We have been free. God wants us to be sharing with other people because we are free, because we cut out the darkness, the world that we were. Jesus brought us to the light. So we can do the same with other people. What Jesus told in the other accounts of Acts, with other details about the story of Saul, in Acts 26:16-18 said, he told him, "Get up and go and," excuse me, "stand on your feet. I have appeared to you and appointed you as my servant, as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith." We, as Saul was called, we are called to do the same, to go and help people, to open their eyes and to help them to be free through the message of Jesus Christ, telling them that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for them and Jesus is alive. We are ministers of reconciliation. We are his ambassadors. So, as transformed people by the power, the amazing power of God, we can be instruments and blessing to others. God transformed our lives, not just that we will be saved and when they will go to heaven, but we will be sharing his goodness with other people, that his name will be glorified. He made us with the purpose of that, for worship for him, that he will, his name will be glorified in our lives, in our testimony to others. So this morning, I just wanted to tell you that as one of the other people that have been, a few people that have been Ananias to me, Pastor David and Pastor Lynn, have encouraged me so much. Like the list that I mentioned to you, I thank God for them. And I thank God for all of you, because you have been loving to me. When I came here, I didn't feel like I was missing my home church. I was missing Spanish a lot. But all of you here that have been here for the last 13 years, have been so loving and kind. God has used you so much. So today I invite you to commit to the Lord and ask him what you can do for him in his kingdom that will be a blessing for people and will be a glory for God. So as we come to share communion, that you think about that and know that Jesus loves you so much. God bless you.